I want to talk about something that I'm not trying to judge.
Okay.
You probably have not heard of.
I am pre-insulted. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Chris Roby, and over across from me is Carly Duke.
Hey, Chris.
So Carly, do you know what this week is in terms of like themes? Is that the right way to put it?
Chris, there are so many holidays in May. We just did Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's way too much.
I'm all kinds of confused.
Well, and there's like always different, like it's like National Pizza Week or Donut Day or there's all that. But this is a really important one. It is National Mental Health Awareness Week, and that is May 10th through 16th of this year, 2022.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. And so we felt like it would be a very responsible and important thing to talk about adolescent mental health, kind of the state of play, and talk about some common myths around mental health issues with adolescents and just mental health in general. And because we feel like this is a core topic for us at Teen Life as we seek to find ways that we can make life better for a student who might be struggling with their mental health, struggling socially and emotionally, to be able to provide like accessible solutions. And this podcast is one of those where we want to equip the adults in the lives of teenagers to better serve their mental health needs. So that's I'm excited to talk through this today.
Yeah, I think mental health is so interesting because we treat it different than we do other health issues, I think. So for example, if your leg was broken, you would take action to heal it.
Right.
So whether that's going to a doctor, getting a cast, like you would fix it.
Right.
And you'd do something about it. But we don't always have the same attitude towards our brains. And if there's something mentally going on, some people get that treated and some people just kind of are, it'll fix itself or...
Well, it's more mysterious. You know, I think there's a... It's easy to misunderstand it and mistake it for just bad behavior or laziness or lethargy, irresponsibility sometimes. It's more blamed on a person than taking a second to step back and ask, you know, is there something else going on here that might be affecting my student's behavior?
Well, I think especially, and that kind of takes us into our first myth, but I think especially for teenagers and kids, we don't always go to, oh, it's mental health and there's something we can do about it. Because I think there's this misconception that children and teens don't have mental health issues.
Oh, right. Yeah. And they do.
Yeah.
And especially as the information cycle has ramped up significantly over the past 10 years, especially with social media, 24-hour cable news, our brains are breaking. under the stress of that, and the adolescent brain who's under development. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast, and I don't mind continuing to bring it back up, that the most susceptible to mental health issues, we believe, are adolescents. And primarily, like, we talk to adolescents about, you know, substance abuse, but it's always in light of development. When there's something being developed and you're kind of altering the environment in which that's developed, it changes things. And that's the same thing with the information cycle, especially children and teens aren't equipped to deal with it.
Right. So I will post, as always, all of our links in the show notes, but I looked into this a little bit. Do teens and kids have mental health issues? The answer is yes, as we've already teased, but I found that half of all mental health disorders show first signs before a person turns 14.
Wow.
Half. And then 3/4 of mental health disorders begin before the age of 24.
Wow.
So, I mean, that is our kids.
Right.
That is our teenagers.
Right.
And then another study was done, and among teens ages 12 to 18, 1 in 6 experienced a major depressive event. So that's just one mental health.
This is not disorder. A myth. Yeah, this and, is not a myth. And, this is very true. When you're talking half are dealing with some kind of mental health disorder, let you know how important this is. And so as a parent, I want you to make sure that you are not falling into the trap of not my kid, not my kid. Because likely there is something that, if nothing else, deserves a conversation, especially if there is a change in behavior or they just seem kind of disconnected. There could be some mental health issues there. We'll talk a little bit later about some things that we can do. But yeah, children and teens have mental health issues and the stats show it.
Yeah. So I think the second misconception we want to talk about is that mental health issues can go away if you just try hard enough.
So why is that not a myth?
Well, first of all, mental health problems don't have anything to do with being lazy or being weak. And I think sometimes we think, oh, you're just being lazy and you just got to get out of that.
Right.
You just got to pull yourself up.
Overcome.
You just got to choose to be happy today. Just get out of bed. And while some people need action and that is helpful, that is not the only thing necessarily that is keeping them in bed. And there are many, many ways that people can get better and need help. And also many factors contribute to mental health problems. So it could be biological factors. It could be like things like their family history. It could be genes if they have an illness or an injury. It could also be life experiences, especially in our teenagers. Trauma is a big one that can contribute to that. And so I think telling someone who is struggling with mental health, just get over it, could be very, very hurtful.
Right. And I think it's good to be mindful. You know, you talked about biological factors such as genes. So, you know, you talked about the age of 24. I feel like I had one of my biggest first depressive episodes right when I was about 24 years old. And I didn't know the long history of mental health issues in my family until that happened. And we started, talking about that. And that's not to fault my family. That's just not something that we ever talked about. And that was really way before these conversations were ever a thing. But I think it's good to know your own family history and know, is this something that has been a factor? And I think it's good for your teenager to know that, just as you fill out your health screen, if you have family history of blood pressure or diabetes or this is one of those things that is passed along genetically. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's good to be aware.
I think on the flip side is a misconception that there's no hope. That if you struggle with mental health, it's something you're going to struggle with and not be able to get over forever for the rest of your life. And that's also not true. Studies show that people with mental health problems get better and many recover completely. And I kind of looked into what is recovery? What is that considered for mental health? And this one article I read said that recovery refers to the process in which people are able to live, work, learn, and participate fully in their communities.
I like that definition.
Yeah. And so I think there are just so many support systems. There are so many resources available now for mental health. And so to think, well, it's not going to be better. And maybe that's a trap that your teenager has fallen into. I do think that we talk to teenagers who say, it's not worth talking to my mom. It's not going to get better anyways. Or on the extreme, I want to end my life because this isn't going to go away and this is never going to get better. And I think that's a misconception that we have to talk about because it can get better.
Right. And we all know those of us who've experienced depressive episodes or mental health issues know in the heat of that moment, it feels hopeless. It's like this will never go away. It's isolating. It's hard to explain. There's shame involved. There's all that kind of stuff because you're just not functioning the way at least you perceive the rest of the people around you are functioning. Everyone else looks like they're fine. But if you are in the middle of it and it feels hopeless, then it is hopeless. And that's when the really bad stuff happens. And so knowing that if you have an adolescent who is dealing with mental health issues, even if you haven't made a lot of progress, just to help them know that there is hope sometimes is a huge first step.
Right. And kind of going along with that, another misconception is that therapy and self-help are a waste of time. So kind of this idea that this is asking for help is showing weakness sometimes. I think people think about that in the terms of mental health, but also that this, especially this form of treatment of going to talk to someone, is wasting your time and your money. And I think from our experience, treatment can take many forms. And what might work for one person might not work for another.
Right.
So therapy might not work for everyone. Taking medication might not work for everyone. Or it might need to be a combination of counseling, therapy, coping skills, medication. You could just kind of have to figure that out individually. But children's mental health counseling services help kids improve skills. They help them improve behaviors. They manage emotions. They learn to deal with life or personal problems. And we are not counseling services, but I think in our teen life support groups, we see there's power when teens are given the freedom to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And not even necessarily to have a solution, but to be able to say, hey, here's what's going on in my life, and I would like it to get better, and we can kind of talk through that. And that's really powerful.
And I think too, at Teen Life, we talk about mental health services, like your counseling, psychotherapy, counseling groups, which are, you know, led by a professional and are needed and do incredible work. But also the idea of mental health supports.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our support groups fall in, but also just building in those skills of going on a jog or walking in nature or journaling, mm-hmm. those things that support good, healthy mental health, and, you know, creating, establishing healthy rhythms, all those things that kind of come out of counseling are more in practice with these mental health supports. And so being able to figure out what's maybe something that is practical that if I can't, because, you know, right now counselors are pretty booked. It's hard. We talked to a lot of people who it's hard to find a good counselor because post-pandemic, everyone's struggling. And so most counselors are pretty full. And so knowing there's some things that you can do, and hopefully you hear some of those here on the Teen Life podcast, that you can help, you know, right away, that would make things better until you can get to see a counselor.
Finally, our last misconception I want to talk about is that you can't prevent mental health problems.
Hmm.
And this one feels personal.
Yeah.
Because of what Teen Life does. And I do think that there are things that we can do to prevent. Now, not necessarily across the board that if you do this one thing, your teenager will never struggle with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a way to focus on known risk factors like trauma and how that is going to affect teenagers' brains, how that's going to affect how they might develop mental health problems in the future. And there's just a lot of research that goes into what you can do ahead of time to get ahead of that.
Well, it's like a lot of things, you know, prevention is not that attractive, right? It's kind of boring. It's kind of mundane. Preventative services are sometimes misunderstood because of that, because we tend to deal with the aftermath, the mess mm-hmm. that cleans up. And that's always going to be somewhat the case when it comes to mental health. But being able to get out ahead of problems, to prevent those problems from happening. A lot of times you don't see the results as clearly when you are focused that way. But if we are able to get out in front and know that there are certain things that we can do that will really prevent this from getting worse, why wouldn't we try that?
Well, and I think if you think about it, less from earlier, I talked about a broken leg.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take your teeth, for example. If you did nothing for your teeth and went to the dentist, I don't think you would be shocked
mm-hmm.
if your dentist was like, what is happening here?
Right.
You've not been taking care of yourself. And I think sometimes we need to look at our mental health that way, of if we're not taking care of our social emotional well-being,
mm-hmm.
then there probably will be consequences for that later on. So if we can do the daily things, we've mentioned them in other podcast episodes, but like you were talking about being in nature,
mm-hmm.
self-care, talking to people when you need help. If you can take care of that before it's even an issue, then I think you'll see more success. You'll already have these skills in place to be helpful. And like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean across the board that if you're doing daily self-care that you're never going to struggle with mental health, because that would also be a misconception. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there are things that we can be doing now before it's even an issue to help our teenagers moving forward.
Right, right. We're talking about prevention mm-hmm. here, not necessarily postvention or counseling. And so, you know, these daily health support, mental health supports are so crucial and really cost us nothing but how we spend our time. And so as parents, as helpers of teenagers, knowing that mental health is and will be a front of topic conversation for a long time, we hope that this mental health week will be something that will draw attention to the mental health crisis is happening in our country. We care deeply about this at Teen Life, and we encourage you to continue to listen week after week as we talk about this to better life for our teenagers.
For the trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about something that I'm not trying to judge.
Okay.
You probably have not heard of.
I am pre-insulted.
I mean, I could be wrong. There is this thing that is taking TikTok and Instagram by storm called BookTok.
Yeah, you're right. I have no clue.
It is somewhat self-explanatory in the name, but BookTok is basically this hashtag that lets creators discuss current reads. They talk about reviews, recommendations. On Instagram, I see lots of pictures of like book lays is what mm-hmm. they'll call them. And they'll put, that's our rainbow stack. And they'll get the colors of different books that they have and they'll make it look like a rainbow.
Huh.
Or for St. Patrick's Day, people did all green books, all the books that I own that are green, and I'm going to lay them out really pretty and take pictures of it.
Hmm.
And it's just this little corner of the internet that is really cool for people who love books to come together and discuss that and get recommendations. Just for some context, the hashtag BookTok on TikTok has, at this time when I checked, 51.2 billion views.
Is this really a little corner of the internet?
Yes. So maybe not.
Yeah. And a lot. Jeez.
It's really interesting because somehow I came across different BookTok things and started watching them and liking them, or I love to read. It's just mm-hmm. something I really enjoy. And so I loved it and I see it all the time now.
Mm.
Anytime I get on Instagram, I'm seeing different books. And so if you have a teenager who loves to read, this could be really helpful, but it could also be dangerous if they're getting recommendations for books that aren't appropriate.
Mm.
And so I think it's something to look out for. But I think, Chris, I just wanted to share some types of BookTok videos that you might find because it could also be a prompt for a really cool conversation.
Okay.
So some videos you might find or some trends that you might find are maybe books you wish you could read for the first time again.
Oh, cool. I like that.
Are you a big reader, Chris?
I'm in fits and spurts. Yeah. So I listen to a lot of podcasts and not mm-hmm. and tend to be more science and education focused. So like, I don't know if that's a cop out, but I learn a lot from those and some actually make it onto the podcast.
There you go.
But yeah, so a lot of podcasts and when I'm not way too busy,
mm-hmm.
absolutely reading.
Yeah. So I've also seen creators go to maybe a bookstore or a library and ask a librarian of take me to the book that you would want to read again for the first time, or take me to the book that you think every teenager should read and they'll go pick it out. And it's really cool to see these people just get so excited about, oh, I would love to share that, because they probably don't get asked that all the time. So that one's really cool. Some things like books that left me heartbroken for days, books that had me crying at 3 a.m., books that made me sob, like kind of this idea of like, these are books that will get you emotionally invested.
Okay.
You don't strike me as someone who reads a lot of emotional books.
No, I can't say that I cry when I read.
Do you ever read Where the Red Fern Grows?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's my earliest memory of a book that I just like probably cried for 2 hours after I finished it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't recall being really emotional about that, but I could have been. I don't know.
You have a heart of stone, Chris.
I do.
You have a heart of stone. Another one maybe of books that made you fall in love with reading, books that everyone should read at least once in their life. I love that books that made you fall in love with reading, because if you have a teenager who maybe you think could be a reader, but they, I don't know, this is my opinion. I think if you're not a reader, you haven't found the right book yet.
Right.
You haven't found the right type of book. And I think I love that because there are people who are like, man, if I could find the right book to draw me in, I would be a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you feel like your teenager is stuck, maybe that's something that you can help them look into.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's find something.
Well, I say too, I've heard it said that a good book is a good companion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've talked a lot about loneliness lately on our blog at Teen Life and just how we are seeing a lot of loneliness happening with our teenagers. And a good book can really feel like you have someone right alongside you, because you're sometimes books read you, you know, even fiction books. And so I think this is a really important topic. I know whenever I'm in a good reading mode, my life tends to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great way to encourage kids to read.
Well, and I will say it's sometimes difficult to read for fun when you're having to read for school. Mm-hmm. I know I was like that, but the nice thing is we're getting ready for summer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really good time to draw teens in and be like, hey, let's go find some good books. We mentioned a few episodes ago, the Libby app is a really good way if they have an e-reader or a phone. They don't even have to pay for the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll also post a link And like I said, look into these because I did not have time to fully look into everyone to make sure how what age it's appropriate for. But I found an article that is 6 books to read for Mental Health Awareness Month. Mm. And so that could be an idea to start. Maybe even for you, if you're just like, I'm not sure about this mental health stuff, maybe grab a book like that. I think they were mostly fiction books, but that talk about this mental health awareness that we are also talking about. But this is a great way to get your teens back involved with reading. Finally, for the tip, Chris, I think I've mentioned this before, but my parents did a great job when I was little of creating a journal for me and my brothers, and then they gave it to us when we graduated high school. I started journals for my kids with all the great intentions.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just not very good at it.
Uh-huh.
Because I think in the moment, oh, I need to write this down. And then by the time I get them in bed and I get myself to bed, I'm so tired and I forget.
Right.
So my tip, I created email addresses for my kids.
Oh, cool.
Now, obviously, I started this early. My kids are younger, but this is something that when I've thought of something or there's a cute picture or a funny story, I will just shoot them an email from my email account with that information, with the thought that when they graduate or whenever I decide it's the appropriate time, I will give them access to that email account. And what they will have are notes and letters from me, my husband. We'll probably give this to a few family members so that they can go back and look at these memories and see these sweet things.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me because I can do it on my phone.
Mm.
Now, I think what's important is if you're listening to this going, I already have a teenager, I didn't start, it's never too late.
Never too late.
Even if you have a senior, document their senior year
of
here are the things that I remember, here are the things I'm going to miss about you, so that when they go off, maybe that's a thing that they can look back and reflect on.
I think it's great to be able to use the tools like this that, you know, because sometimes it's hard to have pen and paper handy, especially if you're out and about. But these, and there's other good tools out there as well. You can just do it in a notes app or, you know, just however it is that works for you to be able to just share in the moment. This is something that made a big impact. This is why I love you. This is what I see in you.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine a senior leaving home and heading into the adult world, that would mean a lot and probably bring a lot of comfort.
Well, that's a wrap on this one, Chris. And I'm just so thankful, especially for this conversation we got to have around mental health.
Absolutely.
And if you enjoyed this conversation, there are many more podcast episodes for you to listen to. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you like, subscribe, follow us on social media. You can find all those links in our show notes. And also, if you liked what you heard, leave us a review.
Leave a review. And then if there's an episode that really affects you, share about it on social media. Just kind of post out there and just talk about how awesome this podcast is. It makes a big difference for us. We're so appreciative of everyone who listens and joins us with the Teen Life Podcast. We will see you guys next week.
Yep. See you next week.